Okay, so we have a few minutes to finish up Kli Shemlacht on the Isser. Just a very brief per se about what we did last week. Kli Shemlacht on the Isser, follow Kli Shemlacht on the Heter. Kli Shemlacht on the Heter, you can move for Tzorach Gufo, Tzorach Mekomo, and Mechama Letzel. So you can move it if you need the place where it's on, if you need to use it, and to move it out of where it's going to get ruined. Kli Shemlacht on the Isser, you can only move for Tzorach Gufo or Tzorach Mekomo, all right? But you can't move with Mechama Letzel. We discussed briefly what a Kli Shemlacht on the Isser, what kind of Isser this is. It's even if it's a Drabanan. It's surely not if it's a Chumrah, it appears, according to most poskim. But in other words, even if there are extensions that are not simply Asam and Atorah, nonetheless it's considered Kli Shemlacht on the Isser, and you cannot move with Mechama Letzel to get out of danger, where it will get ruined. You can only move it because you have a usage for it, Tzorach Gufo or Tzorach Mekomo. We talked briefly, we actually talked quite a bit about what Tzorach Gufo actually is, what is it using for its place, for the thing, the using it that the Gemara used, it gives an example for Tzorach Gufo is a hammer to crack open nuts, or a machad, a needle, which is used for sewing, but you need it to take out a splinter or a coat or a thorn. We even gave examples last week about the fact that you could put a pen onto a sitter to keep open the page. Try it tomorrow in shul, see what happens, because that's a Kli Shemlacht on the Isser. But now you found the way for Heter. Or with the other example we talked about was fans in Eretz Yisrael, which are moved possibly to change the airflow. That's our Gufa problem, or it might be Tzorach Mekomo.
What do you know this word?
It's not as common to have fans here that stand up on their own.
Heating fans.
No, cooling fans. Because you're an Israeli here. You are transplanted here, okay? I mean, it's anywhere. I'm just saying where it's nafutz, zabalitz. Echshani wedze. And then we talked about Tzorach Mekomo, maybe even me cleaning up a room. Does it apply to the entire house? Maybe only the salon, the living room. Is that really considered Tzorach Mekomo? That's how I understood being examined with Tzorach Mekomo. We talked also, and this will come up again today a little bit, Kli Shemlacht Aliyasa. If a Kli Shemlacht Aliyasa does not have any heter ability whatsoever, and the example we gave were candlesticks, there's absolutely no permitted uses for it. Is that considered Kli Shemlacht Aliyasa? Or is that now considered Muktzeh Machmas Gufo, Muktzeh Machmas Iser? So, for example, candlesticks have absolutely no uses whatsoever, and therefore, even though it's a Kli Shemlacht Aliyasa, a Kli Shemlacht Aliyasa of Lola Heter. So therefore, the difference will be, if it's considered Kli Shemlacht al Isser, then I can move it if I need the place where the candlesticks are. If it's considered Muktzeh Machmas Guf, I can't move it if I need the place where the candlesticks are sitting. We discussed actually the example, which was because the machlokas among the achronim, that appears that some places they may have used candlesticks without candles to march people in on Shabbat who were visiting emissaries and dignitaries. So it may have had a different status possibly even in those times. And then we talked about taking a Kli Shemlacht Aliyasa. So once I pick it up, if I can pick it up a heter to move it from its place, I don't have to put it down right away. We talked about you have to try to find a Kli Shemlacht Aliyasa heter before I find a Kli Shemlacht Aliyasa. The answer is preferably to find the Kli Shemlacht Aliyasa heter before Shemlacht Aliyasa, but don't sweat too hard about it. And then we talked about Kli Shemlacht Aliyasa Ula heter if it has two types of usages, like an oven that can be used for an oven, or sometimes the oven can be used for storage. What really defines that's a little bit complex. So what's left for us to do today really is talk about Kli Shemlacht Aliyasa, how I can move it if none of the reasons of Tzorach Gufo or Tzorach Mekomo apply. But I really want to move this Kli Shemlacht Aliyasa, and now how can I do it because maybe it's going to get ruined Mechama Letzel, and I can't do that. So that's the examples we have today, and so you've got the handout in front of you. We're going to work, it's numbers 12, because really we're following the numeration from what we did last week. Okay? So there are a couple of ways to get around it that are heterim to move a Kli Shemlacht Aliyasa that you're only concerned about it really being ruined where it is. The first place is you put something on top of it called, we put a kikar, a loaf of bread, put a tinok on this. So that's what is mentioned by the Shulchan Aruch mentions it. It's actually, the Shulchan Aruch mentions Yesh Matirim. This is Aleph 12, Aleph 1, Roman numeral 1. The Mishnah points out that it's really actually a machlokas among the Rishonim, whether this actually applies. It may only apply, and this actually comes up in Shulchan Aruch Shin Yud Aleph, about moving a mace. because of a kavod mace where they put a kikar or a tinok on the mace. If it's not a mace, can you simply move something that's just simply a kli shemalach to liyisr? I want to move the hammer because if I leave it outside, the hammer is going to get ruined. The metal will bend, the plastic will bend or something. So that maybe it's only going to work for a mace. And the Mishabur says possibly if it's actually that you're putting something into it which is applicable to the actual kli. The example, the Gemara talks about, I forgot to give you the quote from the Gemara, Shumba Meducha, I have a pestle that I have shum, I have garlic in, and the garlic is meant to be pounded in there. So I have absolutely no reason to move this Meducha. However, with the fact that there is shum in it, it now gives it a different kind of status because I would move the shum. The shum is ochel. The fact that it sits in the Meducha allows me to move it as well. So possibly if it's something very specific for it, which may only be in very some specific cases. So the first heter, at any rate, is if you put something that's permissible to move, something that's a davar heter on top of it, you're getting around moving the kli shemalach d'lisser by moving it as moving the davar heter. The second example, the second way about getting around this is what I call klachayat or degufo or aidegufo. I'm not sure grammatically which is better. If I'm doing it indirectly. So the example that the Ramah gives is by nafuach, which is blowing, which is probably even less than klachayat. I'm not moving at all, I'm simply blowing it. So that's not even tiltil of klachayat. And the Mishnah Berurah says that therefore if I would do it, tiltil muksa, begufo is permissible, even letzorach davar mutzar. I just need to move the muksa itself. Now, what is considered really klachayat? How much klachayat do I have to be klachayat? So if you look in 12 bet, Roman number 4, Rav Moshe says that actually kalachiyat is not really me'achore yad. It's not really the back of the hand. We always call it kalachiyat. Kalachiyat is actually, that's the way you move your hand. Kalachiyat is that I have to move my elbow. Okay, so in other words, how far away of getting over the normal way of usage is really considered kalachiyat. The Mishulchan Aruch Rav talks about using your foot, and therefore if you wanted to move something that's in the way, or something that's not in the way, because then Bitzarach Makoma, I simply want to move something because it's going to get ruined there. I'm not worried about someone getting hurt on it, because that'll make it Tzarach Makomo. I have absolutely no need to use the object in a different context, which will be Tzarach Gufo. I simply want to move it because it will get ruined there. I could use it by pushing it along, kicking it along, begufo, in a shinoi that's different than I normally use it. He writes, Zehu Nikra, this is once again, bet 3. That's the part about the mace. In order to put it aside and so forth. And you don't, and vein tzarach loman, surely, shemutal talta muksai de nefuch, shein lechatalta klachiyad godol mizeh. Okay, so that's the second way is doing it in an indirect fashion, which is not the normally way of derech of moving the muksa. The third possibility is through a guy. You know, this is always works. When in doubt, choose someone who's not a member of the Jewish faith community. And once again, the Mishnah Berurah quotes this name of the Prima Gadam, that if you're concerned about the kli getting ruined, the actual kli, if you get a guy to move it, you can do it as well. The fourth one is an interesting one because it's really a harama. This is, you're finding in a different reason. We talked about having the kikar and the tinok on top of the object before. This is a little bit different. This is saying, well, you know what, I have this hammer here, and I want to put the hammer away. I don't need the hammer, I don't need this. But you know what, maybe I really want to crack my nut open. Right? In other words, maybe I really want to go take it to not crack open some walnuts. So I pick it up. And of course, once I've picked it up to crack walnuts, I don't have to put it down right away. And I say, oh, you know what? I really don't want to crack any walnuts. So then I can put it down. So this is clearly a harama. You're tricking nobody but yourself, right? But the reality is it does work. And that's the fascinating part about it, because the Mishnah Berurah and the other Achronim actually talk about it. I'll just read the Mishnah Berurah, Dalet Rum Rum 1. Im Choshev Alav Gam Letashmish, he's quoting Magen Avraham Yishalmi, Mutal Tata Afil Ikar Kavanasa Machmas Tzel. Even though if I can find some kind of really crazy reason to use it, then it is. And the other Achar Shulchan and others seem to imply that even if I don't really want to do it, I'm not going to have some crazy idea, but I'm just trying to find a way to use a possible idea until I really take it. So, for example, Rav Elazar Melamed writes, "Avshas latalta klish machlisur gam shelo yigonevo yinozeg mutal harim litzurk lekol kach."
Are you saying you actually don't have to follow through on that other function?
Right.
Look, who says that you don't have to follow?
Let's read it here.
Right, after having done the thing.
I
would have thought so. I can't prove it from these words, but I would have thought that you actually have to do whatever task you invented for.
I'm concerned it's going to get ruined where it is.
It's Harama because you had no walnuts. You went to the neighbor's house and got walnuts so they can crack them with the hammer. Sorry, what? Adam.
Baruch Shabbos, thanks.
Yeah, the Aruch Hashem says it's really Harama. Hoyim patish munach b'cheder rotzal lotzi ha-misham, v'ashoy lahachlit l'chol l'gozim l'shnamesh b'patish l'fi tzucham,
right.
v'hayinu
right.
kasher in lo kli shalat l'yoch l'fatzim.
The one you put on the sheet says sof mishtamish begufakli.
Yeah,
there's okay. No two ways.
Where are you reading?
The last one on the sheet here.
Okay.
Right. He says she'ain lasser zot mishamaram sof mishtamish begufakli.
Okay, so maybe you do have to use it. I'm trying to remember where I read that it's even if you get there you don't have to use it for the kli.
That would be remarkable.
I'll try to look that up. Okay, I'm trying to remember. It might have been in either Bodner's book or the Archibald book. I have to check if that's what they say, but I'll double check. But you might be right.
What you said before, where if given a choice, you have something which is a clue.
That's clear. The heter.
You should prefer to use the one that's leheter.
Right. So that.
How do you ever use this?
I don't have a warm
kicker or tinnock excuse.
So the answer is it's out of my way. In other words, Rav Moshe writes, and the other Rachmanim say the same thing, I don't have to really go look for it. If I happen to have here a hammer and here I happen to have a nutcracker, take the nutcracker. What if here's the hammer and I need to go to the next room and get the nutcracker? I don't have to go out of my way to do it.
I understand that. But so you put the mace by the... Sorry, you put the tinnock by the mace.
Yeah.
And now you're picking up both of them.
So that's why not all the Achronim agree that putting the kikar and the tinnok on this kind of thing works. It may only work for a mace, which has other reasons such as kavod mace that apply to it. Right. Of all of them, the kikar and tinnok is probably the weakest among the heterim. Okay. I'll get back to you whether this is really applicable for not using it to crack the nut or yes to use the belt. Last item is actually about tefillin. Okay, tefillin is interesting. Tefillin's not quite sure what is the status of tefillin. We do not wear tefillin on Shabbos. There's actually a Gemara in Masechet Erevin that I've left off some reasons. The end of the last beginning of the last perek in Erevin, Sadivav, the Mishnah says, "Hamotzi tefillin machnisam zug zug." If you find tefillin in the field, you can wear them in one pair by pair. And Rav Gamliel says you can even wear two pairs at a time. The Gemara discusses what's the machlokas. Is machlokas whether you're wearing tefillin or you're carrying tefillin. Obviously, if you leave them there, and whether the tefillin, and then the Mishnah says it's about tefillin yeshanos, the word to use. If they were not used, then it's potter, according to everybody it looks like. And who does it really follow? So that's a case where tefillin will appear to be get ruined if you leave them out in the field or something will happen to them. So that's the one. That Gemara seems to say that you can tefillin are not muktzeh on Shabbos. However, the Gemara seems to say that's following the sheet of Rabbi Akiva, who holds that Shabbos is the zman of tefillin. But that brings us down to the halacha, and the Ramah in Shin Ches Halacha Dalet writes that tefillin ain letatlam kim letzorach. So Ramah seems to, I don't want to say hedge, but he says you should therefore take them. Maybe they are, maybe except if there's a real need. So what is the status of tefillin? So the Shulchan Aruch Rav brings down a number of the opinions. I'll just do Shulchan Aruch Rav and I'll do the Aruch HaShabbos and try to explain to you what he says. But there is a machlokas really how do you define what tefillin is. So I'll just read Shulchan Aruch Rav. Hatfilin dinam dinam kisrifer kodesh v'lafil kaklish machta leheter shrei aser latzeis behem l'rshut harabim What's the Rosh Hashanah? You can't take tefillin outside. The case in the Gemara Masechet Erevin is a specific case where you found them, but I normally can't carry tefillin outside. If I can't carry tefillin outside, this shows there's a problem with them not being considered really a malbush or anything like that, or not being considered davar shel heter. So it's not a klisha machtel heter. V'chol davar shel aser letzeit bo asur lov shel klal b'shabbos afilu b'toch habayit. Shema yishkach v'yetzei k'mo shetbar b'shin gimel. The af lehamatirim sham lebosh b'shabbat. Says even if people you can wear them in the house, you still can't call it klishim lachta heter. Hoel v'heim yuchadim lelov sham l'shem mitzvah. So today we only wear tefillin for mitzvah, and with Shabbat asur lelov sham l'shem mitzvah. We don't wear them. Our minhag is, or the decision is, we don't wear them for a mitzvah. We don't wear them for a mitzvah because you don't need them because we already have a nose. But practically, because you don't wear them, lafika asur l'talt l'mafil l'tzarach atzmam. Therefore, you can't pick them up for themselves. So you can't pick them up. This is not tzarach gufo. This is not tzarach mekomo. It's mechama l'tzel. So it may get stolen. Especially im humakam shurav aganav mitzuyim sham heim yisraelim. So even if I know that most of the robbers are yisraelim, so if they do steal them, shelo yavah tefillin lidei bizayon biyadam. So the concern may be tefillin that gets bizayon. It's desecrated. If Jewish, with the robbers that I'm concerned will steal it, are Jewish robbers, they may steal it and pawn it and sell it, right, on a black market for tefillin. However, they're not going to be mevazeh the tefillin, because every Jew would not want to disrespect the tefillin. However, he says, however, if I need the for its purpose, and here he calls it shishmum and amazikim, that's going to get ruined. It's not about them becoming ruined nechama letzel. I'm not quite sure what he means mazikim, but surely if I need tzarach mekomim, I need the place where they are, I can move them, because he defines it, says the Shulchan Aruch Rav, defines it as a kli shemachto le'isur. Shemikomakom yeshalem torat kli umalbush. So even though we don't wear them outside, but he says it's patur av alasur according to that opinion, and therefore you go back and forth. So he seems to fall to come in on the side of his tefillin are kli shemalach dole iser rather than kli shemalach dole heter.
Is he saying kadesh yishmurum amazikin for the tefillin to protect him?
Yes, probably for him, because yeah. Others will talk about the being wearing him from the Tirusa Yeter.
Yeah, that's what I was
thinking. So because he wants to be protected from the mazikim, or which is sarach gufan, even though people don't do this, but he does it. Or the tzarach mekomo, so that would make a klishim l'achdol yisa. Right, it's not the mazikim for the mazikim on the tefillin.
Correct.
Thank you.
Why is a tachshit permitted?
Because I can wear a tachshit.
What?
I can wear a tachshit.
Okay. What about children that are called pe'er?
That may be why it may be considered tachshit. Now we don't wear tefillin, right? And by the way, some of this seems to confuse tefillin. I guess some of the discussion about that case, the Gemara, maybe tefillin, or is it a kameya or something like that, but it's mostly tefillin. We don't wear tefillin. Back in the day, right? Back in the day of the Gemara, they did wear tefillin. It was a natural way, in the same way that you wear a suit and you wear a shirt, you wore tefillin. And you took off tefillin when you went to a place that was not nice, like a bathroom, right? But we've gotten away from that. However, we don't wear it on Shabbos, even though it's normally a tachshit. Why don't we wear it on Shabbos? It's not really because it's something wrong with wearing on Shabbos. I mean, really, correct me if I'm wrong, it's because we don't need to wear it, because we already have the oath of Shabbos as an oath. By wearing tefillin, we are denigrating the oath of Shabbos. So therefore, it's not a double oath. We're saying that the oath of Shabbos is less important for us or not important for us. Okay? So that's why I said it's a funny kind of thing, and I'll show you in a moment just the Aruch HaShabbos when he writes in the footnote how he goes back and forth how to define this. What is it really defined as? It's not really kli shemach dole heter. It's surely not kli shemach dole heter. It's not kli shemach dole iser in the normal sense of the word, because it is a tachshit. I mean, people wore it, and so what is it really? But once again, if you the Haros from Dershow is pretty much the same thing. Let me look at the Aruch HaShabbos on the bottom, because he's very clear about it. He says it's machlokas. Binyan tiltil tefillin. This is the bottom of the page. Hey. Binyan tiltil tefillin nech glaboskim. Yesh yukosim shikli shemach dole yisur. Why? Hov asa le nechim misham siyantov. Vien hetel tatla melech tzarech gufan makoma like kli shemach dole yisur. Yesh yukosim shidim kli shemach dole heter. And I'll explain to you the reason in a moment. Well, the shita zu mutal tatlam gam l'shar tzrochim. Kagon shlo yinazgu v'lo yiganvu. It's the Mishnah we skipped over in Gimel, that we are stuck in Gimel. So if you're stuck and they fell and they're in a place on the ground and they're going to be mevaze by being on the ground, so therefore you can actually pick them up. Misomech, that's a klishim lachdol heter, puts heter plus bizayon, and not rely upon and not say it's a klishim lachdol iser. Because it's not clear that it's fully a malachdo, klish, malachdo, lisser. It's got a very long footnote, I'm going to try to warn you through this footnote itself. So the first part of the footnote, this is a vav, the Aruch HaShabbos writes, and he quotes the Ramah, says that you can, tefillin is like klish, malachdo, leheter. Ramah actually really doesn't really write that, unless he's referring to Ramah earlier on in the Shnot, Shuch Shin Ches. Ramah says, tefillin ain letatlam kim letzorech. So I'm not sure he's really saying klish, malachdo, leheter. But he said the Taz surely disagrees with this, and the Magen Avraham disagrees with this, and therefore Im Kain on the third line Yesh Ladon Osam Keklishim Lachdo LeEsser, and he goes by he brings you two opinions. The second thing he points out, and this is we already talked about, that even if you say that the Keklishim Lachdo LeEsser, there's a separate issue with Tefillin, which is Bizayon. So in other words, one is it might be Keklishim Lachdo LeHeter, second maybe Keklishim Lachdo LeEsser, plus you have Bizayon. And then he goes back, and if you pick it up on 2, 4, 6, the seventh line, the ayin shon, about the fourth word on the sixth line, the ayin shon beber alach shukasav, the afla sovim dos laniyat tefillin b'shabbos, v'yom tov, mikol mokom ein ze machrech shedinam kekli shemach delisa. The fact that we don't wear it doesn't make kekli shemach delisa. Ela, hatover toli b'mash yesh ladon, why is it aser? In my isa laniyat tefillin b'shabbos nema rak mishim skavim b'anach sam l'shem mitzvah, is it aser to wear tefillin l'shem mitzvah on Shabbos? There's nothing wrong with wearing tefillin, just we don't wear tefillin except for the mitzvah. But if you could wear tefillin shelo l'shem mitzvah, like I guess people wore back in the day, so to speak, or for other reasons, or you're in the house, avo mishim aneichem alav amanas l'shomro olamatara achevet ein b'zeh iser. There's no iser to wear it, necessarily. The only iser is to wear it l'shem mitzvah, because that's a note. Or osha asul anichem b'chol gavni. It's completely aser. Dim ha'iser imasa b'chol gavni dim k'kli shemach del iser. That's a klish machd iser. But avol mutal anichem b'she'en kavanas l'shem mitzvah kein ein dinam k'klish machd iser. And he goes back and forth, and therefore he says you've got the case and you're only moderate b'shas etchak. That's, he goes back and forth, and he's quoting this in the name of the Bir Halacha. Then he says, and I'm going down the first word online is hatchak, v'advorim tzorach iyun. How could the Bayer Halacha go back and give you two sides and say it possibly is a collision lachdo leheter because we can wear it, but we just can't wear the shem mitzvah? Kevin sheikra nachas tefillin l'shem mitzvah. V'anachas shelo l'shem mitzvah ein hashchicha kalam. No one does this anymore. Who? It's not important what they did 1,000 years ago. V'inat tefillin omdos klal tzorach zeh shel anachas shelo l'shem mitzvah. How could the Bayer Halacha even say this? So therefore, the Aruch HaShabbos comes down the side more and says, "Imkein akat have a klishim lachdo leiser." Okay. Then he says, but you know what? The idea is, what is the malacha? The malacha is wearing it. But there's nothing wrong with wearing per se. You just can't wear it. In those, you can't wear l'shem mitzvah. We only wear l'shem mitzvah, but that doesn't detract from the fact that wearing it itself may be nothing wrong. And here's where he says, where this is, if you're wearing it l'natura y'nafshe, to protect himself. This is the same thing as the mazikim that we saw earlier on, I think, in the Shulchan Aruch Rav. So therefore, even though you're really only wearing it for mitzvah, that does not necessarily make it klishim lachdo l'iser. Right, because you could wear it theoretically l'shem shelo l'shem mitzvah. So even though we don't, but because you could, and because you have some unusual person who may wear it l'shem neturin nafshi, so it still makes it a klishim lachdo leheter. And finally, he just points out a point about a klishim lachdo leiser, that a klishim lachdo leiser, which has a heter per way to do so. So he writes, that's only if it's a different kind of activity. In other words, here, the last piece is an interesting chiddush. He tries to suggest as follows. I have a hammer, and the hammer can be used to crack open a nut. So that's a klishim lachdo leiser, that I can use it for at the purpose. But what about the tefillin? I can wear a tefillin for a mitzvah, or I can wear a tefillin shelo l'shem shelo l'mitzvah. It's the same act. It's not taking the hammer to crack a nut. As opposed to taking a hammer to crack to knock a nail. I'm wearing it the same way, but it becomes my intention. Does that now call the klisha malachta le'isser that has a heter purpose, or does that change the very essence of what the heter is? So it goes back and forth. That's why at the end of the day, it's not clear how you define what tefillin are. Klishim ach the lisa, klishim ach the heter. The psak of the Shulchan Aruch and the psak of the Mishnah Berurah is therefore, don't move it unless you. It's really a tzorach docha gadol. Right, or you, if you need the place, you surely could move it. Or if it's in Bizayon and it's a Tzorach Gadol, you can. And that's really what the same thing he says here in the next footnote as well, that you can move it either because it's going to be Kli Shemach Del Heter, if it's Kli Shemach Del Isser, it's only going to be where, if it's a Bizayon, you could move it itself. That's how he comes out on Tefillin. The last piece itself is really unrelated to it. I just found the one I was going through the material this week. It's a tshuva. It's a tshuva that was written in Kotleinu, which is put up by Akota, I believe, by Roitz Tzvi Tamir. I happen to find it on one of these collections of articles. The question is, if you parked your motorcycle in a place on Erev Shabbos, this is Eretz Yisrael, and people can't get out of the parking lot, or you parked your motorbike, or you parked your car, and now your neighbor, who obviously is a goy, because it would be a Jew coming to ask you to move your car on Shabbat, comes to you and says, I need to get out of the parking lot. Can you know move the motorbike? So he actually is mechalik between a motorbike and between a car. Not because it's the other way around. Now, I don't know how you would move the car without starting it, but obviously it's a small, probably, you know, tiny, who knows what, Cicito, if you remember those, or Fiat, that you actually could actually push and just whatever it is. But the car itself, he calls a klishim lach dol isser, which has a heter purpose. What would be the heter purpose of a car? And I didn't bring this part here, is you can store it. Every car is a trunk. So you can store material in your trunk. Now you think that's really unusual, don't you?
So you put a baby in the trunk of the car.
Not a baby, no. And actually the truth was, it happened to us over Shavuos, we were in Baltimore, people brought us stuff to bring back for it, and they brought it to us actually before Yontif. And they said, where are we going to keep it over Yontif, because the house was full? So we put it in the trunk, all right, and we covered it so that it couldn't be seen. So yes, you can keep stuff in your trunk. A motorbike has no such real opportunity. It's got a small place for your helmet and really small stuff, but it's really not used for storage. So therefore, he says that when it comes to moving the car, the mechonit is considered, this is right where Maskanat Ladina, he quotes Rav Yashiv, the mechonit chanechshevet kli shemach dol iser, that has a heter kind of usage for storage, right? And therefore, you could move it letzorach mekomo, because you need the place the guy needs to get his motor, his car out, so you actually could push it somehow without turning on the lights or whatever. And therefore you could move it. However, he quotes from Rav Ben Sion Abba Shaul that this is not considered Meklish Machlis, it's really it's Mukta Machmas Cheson Kis. However, when it comes to the motorbike, he says that's really Klish Machlis, She'ein Bo Melechas Heter, and therefore you could only move it. I guess Ayde Gufo is some indirectly. You kick over the motorbike or something like that, or lean on the motorbike, or blow it, or something like that. And then he actually comes to the answer, of course, that once again, the fallback is the best way, of course, is to call a guy. Unless, of course, the guy is going to call a Jew to start the car. Then the better that you should push the car than have the Jew start the car and move the car on Shabbos itself. And there you go.
Okay.
Okay, good.